What deadly sword cuts off all branches of creative activity? The sword of denial that does not face the reality of what is. What deadly sword cuts off all the branches of creative activity? The sword of denial that does not face the reality of what is. Okay, now, in the West, we use the word denial in a specific way. So that is included here, but it is not the only meaning. Okay, that's very important. Let me talk about the Western way we use the word denial when we speak of somebody is not ready. Well, it's the same thing. Somebody is not ready to realize the reality of what is, and so they, you know, don't want to look at it. Okay? And, you know, that's said to be a psychological technique. And sometimes people have a lot of judgment about denial. Like, denial is very bad. This person's in denial. You know, they need to change. But, you know, I spoke with a doctor one time about denial, and he said that he never tries to pull his patients out of denial because he figures if they are denying the situation, it's because they need to. They really aren't ready to deal with it. And if you force somebody to look at something or think about something that they aren't ready to deal with, it's not going to be in the least bit helpful to them. Yeah? Whereas if you're able to create a circumstance, you know, and help a person relax their mind to the point where they can look at something, then they themselves, you know, come out of denial, you know. But they do it themselves at their own time because they've developed whatever internal sense of well-being or inner strength that they need to have to see the situation as it is. Yeah. Whereas often in the West we think of pushing and, you know, forcing somebody out of denial, but that's not necessarily helpful to them. Okay? Having said that, you know, we all need to look at ourselves and see where we tend to deny things and why we do that, you know. Or maybe not so much why we do it, is what areas do we have difficulty looking at, and what comes about because we do not look at those areas. Sometimes that's a much better approach than, what am I in denial about? Why am I in denial? I got to get myself out of denial. You know, that way of relating to ourselves is not very helpful. But if it's like, what is it hard for me to look at? And what are the effects? You know, when we look at how not looking at something affects us, that may give us the energy to start to look at how it affects us, because we see the shortcomings of that. Okay. On the other hand, we may really see the advantages of doing that, because we admit to ourselves, this is not something that I'm ready to look at right now at this very moment. I aspire to do that in the future, and you know, these are maybe the internal qualities that I need to develop in order to do that in the future. So I will work at developing those qualities. Yeah. And so in that way, give our mind some space. Yeah. And treat ourselves with some gentleness instead of, you know,
I've got to confront this.
You know? Like, okay. Then, actually, the meaning here, if we take it in more of a Buddhist sense, okay, what is the sword? What deadly sword cuts off the branches of creative activity? Going back to the other one, when we look at the, you know, in a psychological way, how is our creative activity limited, you know, by not looking at certain things? And so that's one way of doing the thing of what are the effects of not looking at things? How is this limiting my creative activity? That could be another really good, you know, useful way to produce it, to look at it. Okay, but what deadly sword cuts off all the branches of creative activity? The sword of denial that does not face the reality of what is. Okay, in a Buddhist sense, the reality of what is refers primarily to dependent arising. Yeah, so it could, in one way, refer to dependent arising as the reasoning that proves emptiness. And so thus, when, you know, we cannot see emptiness, we cannot look at things as they are, and therefore develop a lot of unrealistic expectations that limits our creative activity. Okay, that's one way to look at it. Or another way, by not realizing dependent, understanding dependent arising, we don't understand causal dependence. And therefore, we, in our conventional life, we develop wrong thoughts and very unrealistic expectations. Okay? I'll give you one example of this. Sometimes people look at the Abbey and they say, this is all due to you, referring to me. And I always say, no, it's not all due to me. Because it was very clear to me when you know, the idea about the Abbey came, that one person alone cannot build a monastery. Yeah? That the existence of the Abbey depends upon all the people who have the karma to benefit from the Abbey. Yeah, if people don't have the karma to benefit from the Abbey will go out of existence. If people do have that karma and they act on that karma, then the Abbey will grow and flourish. Yeah, so it's not one person. It depends on every single person who is involved in the Abbey in whatever big or small way they are involved. So some people are involved, they live here and it's their 24/7 life, and somebody else may give $5 once and that's it. But everybody has the karma, you know, all these people have the karma to benefit by the existence of the Abbey and to contribute to the Abbey, and all of them, each one of them, is necessary. It's not just one person and it's not just a small group. Okay? So it's very important to be aware of, you know, this larger picture, yeah, of how causal dependence works. You know, that whatever we experience is a result of so many causes. I mean, so many causes, so many conditions that are happening right now, and also how we respond to what's happening now creates new causes and goes about setting forth new conditions for what's going to happen in the future. So there's this whole incredible thing of interrelatedness that is really beyond our capacity to understand, you know, as ordinary beings. But just to have an awareness of this helps us to have a very big mind and to be very inclusive, yeah, and to think in the long term, yeah, and thus to have more realistic goals, you know, instead of, you know, false expectations or false praise or something like that, okay? And so I think that, you know, in the example anyway of the Abbey, will help the Abbey flourish better in the long term. And then in terms of whatever else people are involved in, you know, that mind seeing that, you know, we are not a controller of every factor that leads to something. Yeah, that so many other factors are involved that we do not have control over. Yeah, and so to give ourselves some space, yeah, and you know, not expect ourselves to be able to make everything perfect, i.e. what we think it should be, because the causes and conditions don't exist for that. Because we're all in this interdependent thing together. Yeah, so you're speaking about it in terms of your field, architecture, but it could come in any field when we say, you know, I'm the expert, and you shut up and do it my way because I'm the one who knows what's going on here. That when we have that attitude, then we limit actually the creative possibility because everybody, you know, has something that can contribute that may be a benefit. Yeah. How way back when somebody spoke like this, you went, oh, no, we're just going to push forward and, right, all it needs is us. Not many factors, just, you know, six people.